Good morning. Today's daf in the Nedarim is Chav Vav. We're on Chav Hey. We're going to be starting at the Mishnah on the very top of Chav Hem and Beis. Yesterday we finished off our discussion regarding Nidre Havayim. We're up to now today Nidre Shkagos. So this is going to be number three or four. So here we are in the third pack of Nedarim, and we're going over Nedarim that are not Nedarim. And Nedarim that are articulated, and there's no problem with the articulation. The wording that you said is perfect. It just happens to be that you had no intention to make a Nedar. So the failure is an intentionality. So why is there a failure in intentionality? So there could be four possible reasons why you're not intending to make a neder. So number one, which we already covered, is Nidre's Rizus. Nidre's reason is basically where you're motivated, but you're making a neder to get somebody to motivate and move off his position. In other words, Mekach Memkar, you're dealing in business and you're negotiating a price. And so each one of you are talking a little tough. And so you're going to be saying a neder, he's going to be saying a neder, but it's understood. I'm not really making a neder, he's not really making a neder. This is the way people talk in order to get others to move off their position. So that's one example where the neder is not going to be a neder. You don't have to go to a chacham, you don't need to be matirit. It's simply not a neder. That's one. Two, which we basically covered yesterday, is nidre havai. Nidre havai is that you say things which are a little bit hyperbolic, a little bit nonsensical, but everyone knows it's hyperbole and everyone knows it's nonsense, right? You say that, you know what I saw yesterday? I was there at the event and there were 600,000 people there. Okay, there weren't 600,000 people there, and you made a neder attached to the fact that you made such a pronouncement. But again, even if there weren't 600,000 people there, you're going to be fine. Meaning that the people talk in hyperbole and also nonsensical. In other words, there are certain things that are nonsensical, but people understand that that's nonsensical. I saw a snake. It was just like the beam of an olive press. Okay. And I know yesterday, all of us struggled because, you know, we haven't seen many snakes and certainly none of us are familiar with the beams of an olive press. But as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, there's no way that the snake looks like the beam of an olive press. Right, the Gemara rejected the idea of size. It had to do with ridges, whatever. I don't want to get too involved. But anyway, but the point is that, okay, there are certain expressions that are nonsensical, but they're expressions. And it's fine. And that's and you didn't mean to make a neder, even though your comparison was not precise. Good. So that's nidre havai. And so that brings us up number three, and that's nidre shogegin. And so we are starting with the Mishnah on the very top of Chafei Amud Beis. Let's begin. So nidre shkagos. So what's exactly an example of shkagos? So mechalti v'im shasisi. So let's say what you do is that you make a neder, right? We're missing the basic neder here in the Mishnah. But at this point in time, we all know what happened. So you made a neder. You said, let's say for example, konim kikar zalai, right? That this loaf of bread is going to be yasser to me if, and what do you do? Imachalti, if I ate earlier today. Okay, so in other words, so you're trying to now attach a neder to a previous event, and you say, look, the neder is going to be chal if I ate today, or im shasisi, or let's say I drank today. In other words, if I drank today. So, and niska shachav v'shasa. Now, at the time that you made the neder, so you thought right now, oh, I didn't eat this today, and I haven't drunk yet so far today. That's what you thought. Meanwhile, okay, like all of us, you forgot. And what happened is that you did eat, you did drink. So when you were making the neder, you were working with the assumption that you didn't eat and you didn't drink. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you made what's called a mistake. You made a human error. And you did it. You did drink. So that's an example of nidre shkagos. And therefore, the neder is not going to be chal. Because that, in other words, even though your articulation was perfect, but your memory was far from perfect. In fact, you were wrong. What you remembered was incorrect. You misremembered. Or shani ochel shani shose, shachach v'achel v'shasa. So the Mishnah says, I'll give you another example. And that is that I make a neder, and my neder now is going to be connected with something I will do. Now, so in other words, over here, the articulation of neder is now based on a condition that's going to be coming up later on. And now what happens later on is that in other words, my neder is going to kick in, but only if I eat or if I drink. And at the time, later when I ate or drank, I totally forgot about the neder. So over there, the failure of memory occurred not during the articulation of the neder, but rather during the condition that was set in. In either event, the Mishnah tells us, because you were a shogeg at the time, the neder is not going to be chal. Mishnah says, I'll give you another example. Amar konamishi nenesli, shigan vaskisi, oshihiktas bini. And let's say a person makes a neder regarding his wife. He does not want his wife to get enough from him. He's upset with his wife. right, with reporting that his wife was either stealing from him or hitting his child. Okay, so, and so therefore he made a neder against his wife. And then no deshlo hikta, no deshlo ganva. And what comes out now is that the reporting was just simply inaccurate. It's not true. And so he made the neder based on the condition that, you know what, I'm making a neder against her because she did X or Y. And it turns out she didn't do X, she didn't do Y. So now what is that called? It's called neder shikah. So it's a total shogeg. And so therefore, neder is going to be hutter. Right? In other words, you don't have to go to a chacham. You have to be matirat. So ra'o san ochlin te'inim va'ama hare alechem karban. And then the Mishnah gives the third example over here. And that is, he sees a group of people eating figs. Not just any figs, by the way, but your figs. Okay, so there's an assembly of people around eating your figs, and you're looking at them, you're like, it's pretty ridiculous. You're eating my figs. So we make a neder, and they and via the neder, now he makes the figs usher to them, which, by the way, he has every right to do, because they're his figs. And via neder, you can make your figs usher to you. You can also make your figs usher to somebody else. Remember, the only thing you can't do with a neder is you can't make somebody else's property usher to them. Okay, so v'nimso aviv v'achiv hayuim mahem. And what comes out is that that amongst the people that were eating there happens to have been either your father or your brother. So Beit Shammai omrim hein mutarim umashi mahem asurim Beit Hillel omrim elu ve'elu mutarim. So over here we have a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And Shishos Beis Hillel, which we're going to be spending a lot of time this morning going over, is neder shehuksa miksaso hutar kulo. That when I have a neder where partial neder has been removed and lifted, the entire neder has been lifted. Okay, and which is an idea that we're going to explore for most of today's daf. So hold on to that machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. And here we are now. We're going to return back to the beginning of the Mishnah. So what comes out now in the Mishnah is that that we have now category number three. Category number three is you were shogeg. In other words, either at the time of the neder or at the time where you articulated the condition, you forgot. You simply forgot, right? You didn't remember, right? At the time of the neder, in other words, I say at the time of the neder, I'm making a neder based on something that occurred earlier. You just misremember what happened earlier. Good. That's one example. Alternatively, you make a neder based on a condition that will happen later on and at a later point in time. You forgot that you made your neder. That also falls under the category of shogeg. Good. In any of these circumstances, so the neder does not need to be removed because it is it's shogeg. Okay.
In this case, it's really different because in this case, what are we saying? He's not saying a thing. He didn't want to, you know, the first case.
Imachalti?
Right.
Imachalti, no. What he's saying is... right. So what he's saying is that this loaf of bread right in front of me is going to be usher to me, im achalti, if I ate earlier today.
He knows he didn't eat.
No. Right now he thinks he didn't eat. He doesn't know, right?
He doesn't eat. That's right.
Right.
So what did he say?
Right.
If he thinks he didn't eat, then what is he saying? What's the name of it?
Okay, fine. Oh, okay. Another, you're right.
The other ones at least have possibility.
Okay, I now I understand your point. Okay, you're right. What exactly is he articulating?
So obviously it must have meant something.
Well, okay. In other words, maybe somebody accused him. I'm just giving a little more drama over here. Maybe somebody accused him of eating. He's like, no, I didn't eat it. He's like, I'm telling you I didn't eat it. In fact, I'm so sure I didn't eat it. Right? This loaf of bread over here is going to be usher to me if, in fact, I ate it. Okay, fine. Whatever. Okay, your point's still good. All right, anyway, Tana. Kishem shenidre shikagos mutarim kach shavosha shikagos mutaros. And here we go, again, round two. We did this just yesterday. We did this by Nidre Havai. Now remember, yesterday's daf was complicated because we had multiple girsos in the Gemara. We had our girsa in the Gemara, we had the Ran's girsa in the Gemara. Okay, so anyway, over here, no girsa issue. But just like Nidre shikagos are going to be mutar, shvu shikagos are going to be mutar as well. Okay, shvu shikaga. You made a shvu and you misremembered why you made the shvu. So hechidami, the Gemara says now, what's an example? And the Ran points out over here, what do you mean, what's an example? You can come up with millions of examples of misremembering, right? We don't have to be that creative to just simply come up with a simple example of, I didn't remember correctly as I'm making the shvu. Fine. So that doesn't need any real assistance. That doesn't need it. The way the Ron understands the Gemara over here is give me the limits of Shvua Shkaga. Meaning, what would also be included in an example of a shogeg? Because a simple example, Baruch Hashem, we don't need the Gemara. We can come up with examples on our own. So, hey, chidam shvua shkaga, so Rav Kahn v'Rav Asi. So, I'm sorry, kigon Rav Kahn v'Rav Asi. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example, and that would be Rav Kahn v'Rav Asi. So, what happened was is they went to Shir, and they both learned by Rav, right? Talmidim of Rav. And while singing Rav Shir, so good, they're listening to the Rabbi. And what happens? Shir is over. They come out of Shir. And typically what happens after you come out of Shir? They chazer. And you're going over what he said. And you're not in perfect agreement in terms of what he said. Now, what could easily happen is that you could be in perfect disagreement in terms of what the Rabbi said. And one could come out with a conclusion. The other one can come out with sometimes possibly the exact opposite conclusion. Which, by the way, in other words, in Shir, sometimes the Rabbi goes back and forth. And so it's understandable how two people can come away with two different conclusions. And Amar, and now as they're leaving Shir and as they're chazering Shir, and now they realize that, boy, oh boy, do they really not see eye to eye in what's happening over here. Amar Shvuah Sadachi Amar Rav. And one person says, I'm making a Shvuah that's what Rav says. V'adein Amar Shvuah Sadachi Amar Rav. And the other one also is making a Shvuah that's what Rav says. Now over here, is one of them now going to be bound by a shvura? So one of them making an incorrect shvura? No. In other words, why? Because each one of them is giving their perspective of what happened over there in Shir, and so that's an example. It's also going to be example of a shvura b'shogeg. In other words, it's not a simple case of misremembering. Over here, it's not necessarily misremembering. It's just simply a question of your perspective of what happened in Shir. Okay. Here's my take of what happened in Shir. I'm making a shvua by it. Here's your take of what's happening in Shir, and I'm making a shvua as well. And that falls under the category that also is going to fall under the category of shvua shogeg. Okay. Okay. Right. And Phil's point, by the way, which is one of those overarching points that really bother me over the course of this entire parak. And that is that we saw earlier in the Masech that the Chachamim just don't want people to be involved in Nedarim and Shavuos and not saying them. And over here in this entire parak, we're learning together that certain Nedarim that can be said, and not just Nedarim, but even here in this case, Shavuos, that can be said are not going to be violations. They don't fall under the category of Nedarim. They don't need a Chacham. And meanwhile, what you're doing is you're just getting in the habit of making Nedarim, making Shavuos. And it's a little bit strange, meaning, at one point or another, sometime during the parak, I was expecting the Gemara to say, by the way, not the best practice. Meaning, don't make Nedarim, Nidre, Zerizos, and other types of Nedarim, but the Gemara never really, seemingly the Gemara never objects to the articulation of these Nedarim. Okay, anyway. Tanan Hasam. Okay. Ron Nosan Ochlin, sorry, we're at the point of the header. We're on Chaf Hamad Beis, we are a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. And over here now, we're going to be discussing but one more topic for today. Now, one more topic for today. It sounds like we're almost done. Okay. It's going to get a little bit complicated. Hopefully, I'll try to be as clear as possible in terms of presentation over here, because we're going to have a machlokas Tanaim. On top of that, we're going to have a machlokas Amoraim within the machlokas Tanaim. So it's going to be a multi-level machlokas. And then it's going to be a question of which of the presentations of the Machlokas Amoraim is correct within the Machlokas Tanaim. We're going to be looking at Mishnayos and Braises together in terms of gauging which of them is more correct. So, okay, even though it's one topic, nevertheless, it's going to get a little bit complicated. All right, let's try our best. Okay, Tanan Hasam. So first and foremost, we're going to open up with a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah coming up later in our Masechta. This is coming up on Daf Samech Vav. So if you like it today, you're going to like it later on in the Masechta as well. We're going to get to hear this a couple times in our Masechta, and that's as follows. Poskin, b'shabasos v'yamim tomim, v'rishona hayu omrim, osan hayamim, mutarim v'shar kol hayamim, asurim ashabat Rebbe Kiva, v'limeid, nedeshohutam miksasar v'tekulo. Okay. I made the following resolution for the course of this year. Right? I'm just explaining the Mishnah over here with a little bit more drama and a storyline. Okay, so this year I decided, you know what? I'm gonna go vegan. I'm not gonna eat meat this year. Okay, I don't know what got into me. Okay, losing my mind a little bit. It's fine. Totally fine. So anyway, so not only that, by the way, but I make a neder that this year, right, this calendaric year, wherever my starting point is. So this year, I'm not going to eat meat. Period. And I'm making it via neder. Okay, you could also do it via shvuah as well. But in other words, I happen to be making it via neder. Okay, that all meat's going to be usher to me for the entirety of this year. Okay, great. And now, after having made the neder, I'm like, wait one second. Shabbos. what, have I lost my mind? Yantiv. Like, what's going on over here? Like, okay, I can go Tuesday without meat, but I'm going to go Shabbos without meat? Am I crazy? So I go to a chacham, and I say to the chacham, here's the story. I made a neder, and, you know, for the most part, like, I'm okay with it, but, like, in other words, every seventh day, otherwise known as Shabbos, like, I like meat. And then comes Yantiv, and I really like meat, and so I would like to be lifted from my neder. Now, my neder was not making any distinction whatsoever. In other words, I just simply said a year. And then I realized that some of those days I need allowances for some of those days. And so the Chacham's position is okay. So if the Chacham is going to be matir your neder for Shabbos, so you know what that means? It means that you're still bound by your neder. Six out of the 7 days, you're bound by your neder. And seventh day, it's lifted. The Chacham lifted you from the neder for the seventh day. Al Sheba Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says, that's not how it works. In other words, once you're lifted from part of your neder, you're lifted from the entirety of the neder. Right? That sheet is Rabbi Kiva. Neder shehuter miksasa huter kulo. Okay, good. Now, this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva is really the machlokas that we just saw in our Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Meaning what happened? So a whole group of people are surrounding your dates, right? And they're eating and they're loving life, and you walk over and you see that group eating your dates and you're like, that's crazy. And so what you do is you make a neder, banning all of them from eating your dates. Via neder, all those people are going to be usher to your dates. Good. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, oh, wait one second. Of the group over there, who's part of that group? My father. My father's part of that group over there. Ugh. Of course I didn't mean to include him in the neder. I never would have included him in the neder. So now what you do is you go to a chacham to get him lifted from the neder. So what do we learn? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So and Beis Hillel says, Eilu ve'eilu mutarim. Everyone's going to be mutar. Meaning once dad was removed from the neder, everybody's going to be removed from the neder. And so basically here's what we're saying. The machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim later on regarding Shabbos and Yantav is the same machlokes over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Meaning that the sheet of Rabbi Kiva is in line with the sheet of Beis Hillel, and the sheet of Beis Shammai is in line with the sheet of the Chachamim. Okay. Perfect. Okay, excellent. So what Phil just said is exactly what the Ron says. The cases are not perfectly comparable. Good. The Ron says exactly like you. So the cases are not perfectly comparable. And just to highlight what Phil said and what the Ron is saying, and that is that in the case of Shabbos and Yontif, when I made my neder for the year, I had no mistakes about it. In other words, I knew that included in the year is something called Shabbos. And not only that, by the way, but about 50 times this year, Shabbos is going to occur. So, in other words, that didn't come as a surprise. I just didn't think it through. Or, alternatively, I didn't articulate it well enough. Whatever the case is, I knew Shabbos is part of the year. On the other hand, when I saw the people gathering around my figs, eating my figs, I didn't know that dad was there. So the cases are not perfectly comparable. That part's true. But the Ron says, but after that, in other words, the conclusion is going to be the same conclusion, right? That neder shehuter miksasa huter kulo. Okay, fine. Even though they're not perfectly comparable, but still, the principle is going to be the same. That once part of the neder is lifted, the entire neder is going to be lifted. At least that's the shita of Rabbi Kiva, and that's the shita of Beis Hillel. On the other side of this is going to be the Chachamim, which is, by the way, in of itself interesting, meaning that on the Rabbi Kiva, the Chacham in front of Rabbi Kiva is a Das Yachid. The Chachamim seems to be the Rabbim. Generally speaking, we don't passing like Rabbi Kiva over the Rabbim, but okay. That's a little bit strange, but still. In other words, you have the Chachamim, and you have Beis Shammai, who say that if part of the neder is lifted, not the entire neder is lifted. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the Machlokas Tanaim. Okay, so we have a Machlokas Tanaim mentioned not once, but twice in our Masechta. here on today's daf, really it's yesterday's daf, and on Samech Vav. And it's the same machlokas Tanayim. We're putting them side by side. And now, that's the easy part. Now here's where it's going to get a little bit complicated. Amar Rabba. So now Rabbi says, look, I'm here to qualify the machlokas. Again, let's focus on our debate over here in our Mishnah. A group assembled around my dates, started eating my dates, and what do? I make a neder. Okay, now what did I say? Kulchem asurim. So Rabbi says like this. If now, after having learned that my father was there, I say, kulchem asurim chutz me'aviv. So now, according to Rabba, and just to be clear, Rabba over here is with a hey, right? And we pronounce it Rabba. So Rabba will tell you that under those circumstances, everyone will be of the position that they're all going to be usher. Even though dad was lifted, but we don't stand under those circumstances that neder shehukta mitzaso, hutter kulo. So, velo nechluku ela ba'omer, Ilu Aisi Yodea Shaba Benechem, Aisi Omer, Ploni Uploni Asurim Vaba Mutter. When do we say Nedeshutta Mixasa Hotakulo? Only in a circumstance where, here's how I would have redacted my sentence had I known. I would have said, instead of Kulchem Asurim, I would have said that Ploni Uploni Asurim Vaba Mutter. Okay. And the Ran explains like this. And I'm giving a synopsis of the Ran. The Ran writes a lot over here. But the Ran says like this. According to Rabba, in order to say that part of the neder is lifted, the entire neder is lifted, there has to be not one but two failures. Failure number one is that I made a toast in my neder. My neder was a mistake. In other words, I certainly didn't mean to include everybody. In other words, I didn't know my father was there. So there has to be a toast in the neder. And this is very important, and there also has to be a toast in the lashon. Meaning my entire language would have changed had I known that my father was there. I would not have said kulchem. I wouldn't even said kulchem chutz me'aba. Right? And as the Ran, at a later point in time in the daf, goes on to explain, when I say the word kulchem and my father's there, and I knew my father was there, so for a moment in time, he will think he's part of the neder until I explicate. I never would have used that language. The language I would have used was your usher and your usher and your usher, you know, except for dad. In other words, so that dad never would think for a moment that he's going to be included. Now, you can argue that point, but that doesn't matter. Meaning, according to Rabba, there has to be, in order to say neder shehuta mixasa huta kulo, it's only going to be in a circumstance where a double failure. Failure in intent and failure in language. A taus beneder and a taus belashon. Then and only then do we say hutter miksasa hutter kula. However, if the language would have been the same, meaning instead of saying kulchem asurim, I would have said kulchem asurim chutz me'aba, then everyone would agree that everyone remains asur, and the only thing that's going to be lifted is going to be dead. This is Rabba's understanding. Good. And Rabba disagrees, as we're now on the top of Chavav Amad Aleph. Rava says, no, here's how I'm going to set it up. If there's a double failure, a failure in neder and a failure in lashon, so then we have agreement that, meaning between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that the neder is going to be lifted from everybody. So the only time that there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is in the following circumstance, where I write again, people gather around my dates, eating my dates. I go over there. I say kulchem asurim. I then discover that dad was there. I then say, okay, what's it called? I'd like to redact my statement. Now is kulchem asurim chutz me'aba. Then, according to Rava, that's the case where there's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What's that machlokas going to be a predicate of? Beis Shammai savrei k'Rab Meir damar tfos lashon rishon, uBeis Hillel savrei la k'Rab Yosi damar bigmar dvar v'adam nitfas. And over here, the machlokas now between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is going to be a predicate of the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Meir. Let me give just a little bit of background over here. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. So this machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, is going to be found principally in the Gemara in Temura. Okay, right? A mesechta tucked away somewhere in Seder Kachim. Okay, now Temura, we're all familiar, right? I'm just going to give a really, really short synopsis over here. So Temura is basically what I'm trying to do is take the kedusha of a karban and exchange it to another animal. And the Torah says, "Vayahu usmura so yeh kadosh." So congratulations, what you did is that you did transfer the kedusha, but the original animal maintains its kedusha. Good. And the Torah, by the way, says that you're not allowed to do that. But if you do that, that's what's going to happen. So now the Gemara over there in Temura and Daf Chafei discusses the following. Let's say what I try to do is the following. And that is that I try to generate an animal with Temura Kedusha from both an Ola and a Shlamim. So I say that this animal will be Temur's Ola, and I say it's also going to be Temur Shlamim. Okay. And it happens to be, in other words, in order for me to say that, I have to have a carbon Ola and I have to have a carbon Shlamim. Okay. So what I try to do now is in one animal, generate both Temuras. Now, can you do that? Of course not. In other words, an animal can either be an Ola or it can be a Shlamim. It can't be both. So what do you do? So according to Rav Meir, so you don't have to worry. Because according to Rav Meir, what do? Tfos Lashon Rishon. Whatever you said first, that's the Temura Kedusha that's going to be generated. So that means to say that if I try to go to an animal and give it the Kedusha of an Ola and then followed by a Kedusha of a Shlamim, so what did I say first? Ola. So what is it? It's an Ola. Shlamim? They can't take. In other words, the animal now is infused and invested with the Kedusha of an Ola. And that's it. Done. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi says you have to take the totality of a sentence. Meaning he tried to infuse into one animal the Kedusha of an Ola and a Shlamim. Both are going to take effect. And the obvious question, which is, now what do I do with this animal that has a hybrid of an Ola and a Shlamim? The answer is that you wait until it develops a blemish and then you sell it. Divide the proceeds. Half of it going to go towards an Ola and the other half is going to go to a Shlamim. Right now, it's important, but not important for our purposes right now. So basically what we have in the Gemara and Temura, a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, is that when you make a statement that can be divided into two portions, so what do you do with such a statement? Rav Meir says, Tfos Lashon Rishon. The focus is going to be only on the first part of the sentence and not the second part of the sentence. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no. You always will look at the totality of the sentence. Okay, now, let's take all that, let's bring it back over here. What happened over here? A group of people are eating your dates. You get there, and you say, Kulchem Asurim. Everyone's going to be Asur. Then clarification. Wait 1 second. Oh, hi, Dad. I didn't know you were there. Okay, now I would like to redact. Kulchem Asurim, Chutz Me'Abba. Okay, now, according to Rav Meir, what happened in that redaction? There was no significant change. Okay? Meaning, because according to Rav Meir, what do? Tfos Lashon Rishon. Tfos Lashon Rishon means that really, even though you at the end stipulated that I would like Dad to be removed, but effectively, what have you changed in your statement? Zero. You start off by saying Kulchem Asurim. You ended with the words Kulchem Asurim, even in your redacted statement. So therefore, there really is no change. Therefore, everyone's going to remain Asur. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yossi, where you say that you take the entirety of the statement, so when you now redact your statement, Kulchem Asurim Chutz Me'Abba, so that is a new statement. It is a totally redacted statement. So now what's going to happen is that since it's a new statement, it goes ahead and overwrites what you said previously. What you said previously was Kulchem Asurim. Now you're saying Kulchem Asurim Chutz Me'Abba. But Abba is going to be lifted. Everyone's going to be lifted as well. Okay. So, if we can now, let's take a moment to summarize. Because at this point in time, it's complicated. Sure. So let's take a moment to summarize. So where do we stand right now? We have a machlokas between, in our Mishnah here in the third parak, we have a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of whether or not neder shehuter mitzaso huter kulo, where Beis Hillel says neder shehuter mitzaso huter kulo, and Beis Shammai disagrees. Even though part of the neder has been lifted, not the entire neder is going to be lifted. That's our Mishnah over here. Similarly, you have a parallel Mishnah later on in the Masechta where I make a neder year round. I'm getting off meat for the year, And then afterwards, I'd like to redact that. And I would like to be, I'd like the neder to be lifted for Shabbos and Yantav. So there, same achlokas. According to the Chachamim, you're lifted for Shabbos and Yantav. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no. Neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. Once part of the neder is lifted, the entire neder is lifted. Good. So you have now two mishnayos that have parallel machloks in between each other. As Iran points out, as Phil points out earlier, they're not exactly the same. They're not perfectly parallel, but doesn't matter. For our purposes, they're parallel enough. Good. Now that's the Tanayim. Then where it gets complicated is the Amoraim. Because the Amoraim go ahead and shape and frame the machlokas Tanayim. According to Rabbah, Rabbah says, look, the only time that Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are going to say Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo, the only time we're going to say that is only if you have a double failure, a failure in Kavana and a failure in articulation. If, let's say, that's not the Neder I wanted to make, and if I get a chance to redact, I'm going to change the language altogether, then and only then do we say Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo. However, if let's say the failure is only in the Kavana, but the language of the neder would have been the same, right? In other words, I still would have sent kulchem asurim. If that would have been the case, everyone agrees, we do not say neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. That is Rabbah's understanding of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and also the machlokas between Rabbi Kiv and the Chachamim. Good. And then Rava, who starts on the top of Chaf Hamid Aleph, so Rava says, no, I'm of the position that if it's a double failure, both in Kavana, and you would have changed the language had you gotten a second chance to say the Neder correctly. If it's a double failure, everybody agrees that Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo. That there would be no disagreement. The only time that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to be arguing is where there's a failure in Neder, but the language would have been the same. Oh. So then why is there going to be a machlokas? So this is going to be predicated on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, meaning I still would have said the same thing, kulchem asurim, but then I would have added chutz me'aba. That addition of chutz me'aba, is that significant or not significant in terms of reshaping and redefining my entire neder? Depends who you ask. Depends if I ask Rabbi Meir or if I ask Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Meir, who says tfos lashon rishon, it doesn't really fundamentally change that which I stated, because I'm always focusing on the first part of that which I said. So therefore, my neder's effectively the same. Masha Enkin, if I ask Rabbi Yossi says that when you make a pronouncement, you look at the totality of the statement. Since the second statement now has the addendum of chutz me'aba, it's now a different statement than that of the first statement, and therefore we're going to say neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. Okay. Hopefully you got that, right? If you didn't fully get it, do me a favor. Just back up on your player 2 minutes and do it again. And listen again.
So with the case with Shabbos, isn't it the same thing? If I say, let's say, I'm in a coil, right? And I say, oh, next year I'm going to work the whole year. So obviously it doesn't include Shabbos. So maybe with the thing of the eating, if you say that eating meat on Shabbos is a, I don't think
it's middle ice
or not.
Yeah, right.
So it would be the same case.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you what. It's a fair question. It takes us a little bit off course right now. Let's just stay with what the givens that we have, the Gemara that we have. Good. So now what are we going to do for the remainder of today's daf? And that is that we're going to litigate, meaning who's got the better pshat in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Does Rabbah have a better pshat or does Rava have a better pshat? And that's what we're going to do. So we're in the middle of Chavav and Aleph, and Ezer Rapapala Rava Ketan Amar Rabbi Akiva Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo. So let's go for an example of Rabbi Akiva. Now remember, Rabbi Akiva is basically the same as Beis Hillel, right? The two machlokes are parallel. Okay, so good. So give me an example of Rabbi Akiva. He says, I'll give you one. So Konim Sheninen Elokuchem. So let's say I make a neder where all of you are not going to enjoy my food. In other words, he's making an eder against an entire group. So hutar echamehem hutar kulam. Okay, so once one of them is removed, once one of them is lifted, they're all going to be lifted. Okay. In other words, neder shehuta miksasa hutar kulo. Good. Now, eini nana lo laze v'lo laze. So now we go to the next part where I say lo laze v'lo laze. I don't use the word kulchem. I use the words lo laze v'lo laze. So Hutar Rishon, Hutar Kulan. So if one of them is lifted, they're all lifted. Hutar Ha'acharon, Acharon Mutar, V'Kulan Asurin. Now if the last one is lifted, so the last one is going to be lifted, but all the other ones are going to be, are still going to be included. Okay, now, at this point in time, here's, as if today's daf wasn't already complicated enough, here's where it's going to get a little bit challenging. Because there really are now, if you will, three different cases that we just went through in this brisa. One where I said kulchem, one where I said lezeh lezeh, where the rishon is going to be mutter, and all of them are going to be mutter, and one where I said lezeh lezeh, the last one is going to be mutter, but all the other ones are going to be aser. Okay. So I could really break it down to three different cases. Right now, we are not going to be saying what is really the correct pshat of the brisa. Okay, meaning, what the Gemara is going to do for just a minute is entertain the following pshat. So according to Rabbah, I get it. Now remember, Rabbah says that in order for Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel to say that neder shehutar miktsaso hutar kula, what do I need? I need double failure. Failure in neder and failure in language. So according to Rabbah, where I need double failure, I think I can get it. I think I can get double failure. How am I going to get double failure? So again, what I'm doing right now is I'm giving a summary of the run. Double failure will come in the following. Look, what happened? I said kulchem and I discovered that my father was there. Okay. Once I discovered my father was there, so I want to redact my statement. Meaning, aside from the fact that I didn't mean it, obviously, if I know my father was there, I didn't mean it. So that's a failure in Eder. But I even would have changed my language. I never would have said kulchem had I known my father was there. Because if I say the word kulchem, for a moment, my father would think he's part of that. I would have said right from the very beginning, lezeh ulezeh. And then, with notable exception, of course, to my father. Okay. That's how I would have done it. So that would be one case. I'll give you even another case as well. Let's say I started off by saying lezeh lezeh. And then I discovered that, and again, I didn't know my father was there. And then I discovered that my father was there. So you know what I would have done? I would have redacted. Not only did I not mean my neder, but I would have redacted my sentence. Why? So the Rambam explains over here. Because if dad was there, and I said lezeh ulezeh, and I knew my father was there, I would have said the word kulchem. Why would you have done that? Because consider, says Iran, if I start off saying, you know what, all you people eating the dates, no, I'm not even going to say all you people, right? I'm going to start off by saying, you can't eat my dates and you can't eat my dates. And I'm going down the list of people until I get to my father. No, dad, no, you can. In other words, but up until that point in time, he's going to be thinking to himself, oh no, my kid's really upset. And he's going to include me as well. In other words, then while I'm listing everybody, so my dad's going to be stressed and anxious over the fact that he may be part of that group. On the other hand, what I'd like to now do is I'd like to redact and say, all of you are going to be us, except for my father. So there will be a smaller window of opportunity for my father to have any anxiety that he may be included in that group. Oh. So in other words, the way the Ron understands it is that I can explain, according to Rabbah, how it would be that in both cases, it would be a failure both in Kavana and a failure in language as well. Meaning I would have redacted my sentence. That's all if I held like Rabbah. Now, in a moment, by the way, we'll throw this in parenthetically. It doesn't really fully satisfy explaining the Braisa. Because the Braisa had not two parts to it. The Braisa really had three parts to it. Okay, so, and in a moment, the Gemara is going to recognize that, we set up shot, it works, but it's not great. But right now, at least we got something. But now, as the Gemara goes, now you, Rava, so where are you going to stand on this entire issue? Now remember, according to Rava, right? Let's quickly recap. According to Rava, what happens? If you have double failure, what does Rava say? Everyone agrees? Once part of the neder is lifted, the entire neder is lifted. So remember, that's not going to work according to Rava because this brace is clearly espousing whose viewpoint? Rabbi Akiva. Right? Look at the brace. Ketzad Amar Rabbi Akiva. According to Rava, we're looking for a case that only Rabbi Akiva would subscribe to. Now, what would be that case? Well, if it's a double failure, it's not Rabbi Akiva, that would be Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim as well. So what we need is a case that only Rabbi Akiva subscribes to. According to Rava, what is that? What would be the case that only Rabbi Akiva subscribes to? That's going to be a case where I am not redacting my sentence. I'm just adding an addendum at the end. I'm just adding a clause at the end. And then, remember, according to Rava, then what's the machlokas? Machlokas is that my addendum, does that redefine my entire sentence? That would be true if I hold like Rav Yossi, or no? It doesn't redefine my entire sentence because I hold like Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says only Tfos Lashon Rishon. So it would be where I don't change my sentence, but I put an attachment at the end. So I understand according to you, Rava, where you say Lekuchem, and then afterwards you throw in the clause Chutz Me'aba. But Ella Sefer, but when you get to the Sefer, where I say Lezeh Ulezeh, so Dama Lezeh Lezeh, so Rabbi Kiva, he am I. Pligi Rabbanah Lava Amart, Divrei Hakol Mutter. Now wait one second, if I say Lezeh Lezeh, and then afterwards I'm looking now to redact, once I redact the sentence and change the language of the sentence, don't we have everybody agreeing that Neder Shehuter Miksasa Huter Kulo? So according to you, Rava, you're really going to struggle with this brisa over here, aren't you? And so this brisa over here fits in a little bit better with Rava than that of Rava. Okay. If you didn't fully follow all that, in other words, this by far and away, the hardest part of today's daf, just trying to see the brisa through the lens of Rava and through the lens of Rava, and it works out a little bit better for Rava than it does for Rava. Then it does for Rava. So Amrle Rava Ula Rava Minicha. Sorry, I just made up words, didn't I? Sure. Amrle Rava Ula Rava L'Rabbi Akiva Minicha. Okay. In other words, and now the Gemara says, look, from Rava's standpoint, the Braisa doesn't work out so well according to Rava. Why? Because Seifa Mukim La Damel Kulchem. So Haydenu Rishon VaHaydenu Achron. Remember, in that Braisa, there were not one, but there were actually two different cases. In other words, there was where the Rishon, and you had the case of the Acharon. So, Ella, Reisha Damar Kulchem. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so here's what we're going to say. In the first case of the Braisa, now this is going to be a defense of Rava. And the truth of the matter is we would say the same thing for Abba as well. In the first case of the Braisa, what happens? He said the word Kulchem. Okay, good. So he said the word Kulchem, and then afterwards, what did you do? So you wanted to redact your sentence. Good, fine. And the Vesefa, but what we're going to do now is that we're going to look at the second half of the Braisa, and we're going to give an entirely new interpretation to the second half of the Braisa. And that Kigon Shetalon Zebezev, Amar Ploni Keploni Uploni Keploni. And what you did is you made a train, and what you did is you linked each person to the person beforehand. Okay, in other words, so here's what happened. There was a group of people surrounding your dates, eating your dates. And you turn to the first person and you say to the first person, you're going to be ushered to those dates. You go to the second person and you're going to say, and you're going to be like him. And you go to the third person and you say to the third person, you're going to be like him, pointing to the second person. And so what you do now is basically, via neder, you attach each person to the person immediately prior to him. So now you have made a chain neder. Or let's say it even a little bit better in terms of an analogy, you made a train neder, where each now person is connected to the person immediately prior to him. So now the Gemara says that's what the Seifa is talking about. Now having nothing to do with failure of language, failure of neder, no. The Braisa now is just talking about, I'm linking people one next to the other. And now that you see the Braisa that way, now it works out beautifully. Meaning, what did the Braisa say? The first person's neder has been lifted. Okay, so now what happens? They all go. Because, right, now you have the domino effect, and they're all going to go. And all the nedarim of all of them are going to be lifted. If, on the other hand, right, perfect. If, on the other hand, the last one is lifted, well, in other words, he was attached to others, but nobody was attached to him.
But even in that case, I mean, Rabbi Akiva says...
A good, and admittedly, by the way, that now serves as a bigger chiddush. All right, I totally agree with you. It comes out to be a chiddush. And Dekanami and the Gemara says, and look, when you look at the Braisa, what you realize is it's a beautiful pshat in the Braisa. The Tanya, because in the Braisa it says Huter. I'm sorry. The Gemara now is going to quote even another Braisa, but that's going to support everything we just stated. But first of all, it fits into the language of Rishon versus Achron. Meaning previously, when we try to say a pshat in the Braisa, we kind of just ignore the words Rishon and Achron. Now, it fits in beautifully. And Dekanami Detanya in the Gemara says, and on top of that, I have another Braisa that clearly demonstrates that what we're saying now is really the correct pshat. Why? Because Hutter Imtza'i, so Heimen Olamata Mutar, Olamala Asurin. What happens now is that in this Braisa, what happens when a middle person's neder has been lifted? In other words, I had a group of 10. In other words, I said to the first person, you're going to be usher. I say to the second person, you're going to be connected to him. In other words, as much as he's usher, now you're usher. And I do that 1 through 10. Now, in the Mishnah, what we did is, what happens if the first person's lifted, and what happens if the last person's lifted? In the Braisa, what happens if number 5 is lifted? So now what happens if number 5 is lifted? And now, number 5 is lifted. So 1 through 4 are still bound by the neder. 5 through 10 are going to be lifted. Because 6 through 10 are all linked to number 5. That's what the Braisa tells us. So what's the Braisa telling me? The pshat that we just offered is in fact the correct pshat. The previous pshat is not really correct. Okay, good. So where do we stand right now? We just went through a Braisa. Does it tell us who's saying a better pshat, Rava or Rabba? The answer is no. It's not telling us. Because the second part of the Braisa has nothing to do with Rava or Rabba. The second part of the Braisa has to do with the fact that I made a link neder, where I linked each person to the person prior to him. The second part of the Braisa has nothing to do with our discussion over here of Kevin Shehuter and Miksasa Huter Kulo. Okay. And here's where we're going to pause tomorrow, because this goes on into tomorrow's daf. Okay, so let's quickly recap. Okay, in terms of a basic summary, I think it's just much easier. In terms of the trees, I think it's easy to get lost in the trees. But in the meantime, however, just in terms of basic pshat. So first of all, we introduced ourselves this morning to Nidre Havai. Sorry, let's say it better. We introduced ourselves, that's yesterday's daf. Today's daf, Nidre Shogigin. So the idea that if I make a mistake, so then Nidre's going to be lifted. Okay, that part's easy. The Mishnah gave us numerous examples of Nidre Shogigin. Good. And the... And what's the extent of Nidre Shogigin? And by the way, the Gemara also attaches the Shvur Shogigin as well. It can be totally disregarded. The limits are going to be where two people come out of Shir, and each one of them reflects what the Rebbe said, different than the other person. Each one makes a Shvua, but that's also an example of Shogigin, because each one is reflecting what they thought is correct. Good. Fine. So, and then for the rest of today, what we did is discussed Neder Shehutu Miksasar Hutu Kulo. You made a Neder. It incorporated a whole bunch of things. You got lifted out of some of it. So now, according to Beis Hillel, and according to Rabbi Akiva, Neder Shehuta Miksaso, Huta Kulo, where you're lifted from some of it, you're going to be lifted from all of it. Okay, good. That's the Shita of some Tanaim, notably Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, right, in chronological order. And then, the Shita of Beis Shammai and the Shita of the Chachamim is that no, that the part that you're lifted from, and the other part you're still going to be bound by. Then Neder Shehuta Miksaso, Lo Huta Kulo. Okay, so that's the Shita of Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. It's the Shita of the Chachamim in the Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta. Fine. Good. In that Machlokas, we now have a Machlokas Amoraim, how to frame the Machlokas Tanaim. And again, let's go over. According to Rabbah, with a hey, according to Rabbah, the Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only going to be in the case where you had a double failure. In other words, you had a failure in your intent, and you had a failure in language. When I say failure in language, meaning, had I known what I now know, I would have made the neder entirely different. Then, and only then, are we going to say neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. However, if it's only a failure in intent, but my neder would have been articulated the same, so then under those circumstances, we're not going to say neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. That's the opinion of Rabbah. Good. So what he does is he significantly limits the shita of Beis Hillel. On the other hand, you have Rava. Rava with an Aleph is of the position that no, that if you have a double failure, here we're going to have agreement that Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo. Everyone will say, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai will both say that when some of the Neder is lifted, the entire Neder is lifted. If that's in fact the case, when do you then have the Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in a circumstance where I would not have changed my Neder, meaning it's a failure in the Neder, obviously, in other words, I didn't know all the details. I wouldn't have changed the neder, but I would have attached and addended a statement afterwards. Ah, that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What's that a function of? The question of whether or not you're tofes lashon rishon. According to Beis Shammai, you are going to be tofes lashon rishon, and therefore your neder has not fundamentally changed, and that's why you're still bound by the neder. On the other hand, according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel goes like Rabbi Yossi, that you're going to take the entire language, that afilu bigmar dvarav, even with the end of the sentence, you take the totality of the sentence, therefore the redacted statement is going to be fundamentally different than the original statement, and therefore, neder shehutu miksaso, hutu kulo.
Okay. Rabbi, if you go to a book and ask him to be on